The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
All right, Hebrews chapter 10 in the Jesus book, okay? I started this a couple weeks ago, and I was really, really happy about where we got in this. Hebrews, I mentioned a couple weeks ago when we started, the key word to the book of Hebrews is the word better. Say better. Better. Okay, better. Better implies more than one. Better. So if there's only one thing, that one thing, you have better means there's some kind of comparison. There's more than one. And the key word all through the book of Hebrews is the word better. And Christ is the central theme of the book of Hebrews. And in that, the book of Hebrews argues that Jesus Christ is better than. And then he goes through what the author does, the writer of Hebrews. He goes through all these different things, beginning in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, goes all the way to Hebrews 13, and he compares Christ to things that the Jews, this is written to the Hebrew church, so that means this is a church that was formerly filled with people that were Jewish people, Hebrews, right? That were under the law, that loved the law, that loved the precepts of what Moses gave them as a people, what Abraham had brought to them, right? But it goes through, as this writer's writing to this church of former Hebrews, he's telling them, I know you loved the law, but we have something better than simply the law. We're not saying the law's bad. We've got something better than just being under the Ten Commandments. We've got something better than in chapter 1, one of the things he compares, there was a lot of angelic worship back then. They began to worship angels and things. There was those that thought that angels were one of the highest beings that God ever created. And he makes it clear that Christ is better than any angel. He's better than everything that he goes through all these chapters and compares him to. Now, so we come to chapter 10, and he's trying to talk to him about the work of Christ compared to some of the works of the law, and what the work of Christ can do compared to what the law, where the law could fall short. Now, if the law, one place in Hebrews says this, if the Ten Commandments, if the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses could get you where you needed to go, what need would there be for Christ to even come? If the Ten Commandments could get us to heaven, cleansed, and all the things that Jesus did, then why would Jesus need to come? Well, obviously, he wouldn't have had to. And so that's what he's comparing here. Let's look at verse 1. We'll start. For the law, the Moses law, the Ten Commandments, right, had a shadow of good things to come. So remember that we talked last week about there's a difference in the substance of a thing and the shadow of a thing. A shadow of a thing, there's my shadow there. It's light, but there's my shadow there, but my shadow is not the substance. There is a substance, but it's the shadow of me just talks about the fact that there must be substance somewhere, but the law is a shadow. So the law is not the thing that's going to get us where we need to go. Okay? But it's a shadow of good things to come. And not the very image of those things. The law can never with those sacrifices. So under the Ten Commandments and the law, remember, because men fell short of keeping the Ten Commandments, that there were sacrifices that had to be made to cover our failure in keeping the Ten Commandments. Isn't that right? There was, animals had to die, because without the shedding of blood, there's no taking away of sin. So animals had to die so that our sins could be atoned for or covered. The law can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. And here's what I said. That the goal, what God needs us to become in order to get us where, to get us into his presence and prepare our hearts to be with him forever, is he needs us perfect. Huh? He's trying to get you perfect. And he got you perfect. He got us perfect. But not under the law. Not because we did so many good things. Because he says here, the law, even with all the sacrifices that come with the law, all the animals and the sacrifice, there were so many different kinds of animals. The Old Testament was bloody. There was always something dying in the Old Testament. Every day there were certain sacrifices at the tabernacle of Moses, man, at the altar, there was always something being sacrificed on that altar. And then year by year, there was always the Day of Atonement, the big sacrifices, right, for the sins of Israel. But remember this, he's saying here. For the law, and he's exalting Christ in this, that the law could never, no matter how many animals died, that the blood of those animals could never make you perfect, which means to bring you to your intended end, where God really wanted you to be. See, I believe that when we become a Christian through Jesus Christ, God gets us where we really need to be. I didn't get a little better. I didn't improve. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I'm going to tell you today, when the blood of Jesus touched me, not the animal blood, right? When Jesus' blood got on my heart, when I believed on him, I want to tell you, I didn't get better. I didn't improve my life. Come on. I tell you, I got perfect. I want to tell you tonight, man. I want to tell you, you got a perfect pastor. Not because I pastor perfectly, but because I'm perfect, which means simply, not that I don't have any failure, but in the position that I'm in with Christ, when his blood touched, that's why he's better. That's why this theme is better. Shout better. Better, man. It's better than the law. Right? Because when Jesus' blood touched us, it made us perfect. It completed the work that needed to be done. But verse 1, he reminds us, remember this, the law can never do that. So that's why I've never been interested in going back under the Ten Commandments as the guidepost, man. I mean, it is a moral law. It's a holy thing. It's part of the thing. But it's not the whole thing. All right, so I want you to hear me. The law could never do that. Okay? For then, wouldn't they have stopped being offered? The fact that they offer those animals all the time, day after day and year after year, what does that tell you? That in itself is speaking something, isn't it? What's it speaking to you? It's speaking, what happened so far is not good enough, because we got to do it again, and then we got to do it again, and then we got to do it again, and then next year we got to do it again, and then there's got to be a priest involved in it every day. And all these animals, these birds, these oxen, these pigeons, all the animal sacrifice, they got to continue to die. And what that says is what happened under the law is not adequate. It's not taken care of yet. Wouldn't they have stopped being offered? The answer is absolutely. Because that the worshipers, once purged or once cleansed, would have had no more conscience of sin. In other words, if the blood of those animals was good enough, then the people, even the people who once were in their sin, they would, if the blood was good enough and they became perfected, then it would have been out of their mind that I'm a sinner. It wouldn't even be in their mind anymore. Right? But the law and the sacrifices almost, not almost, they do. They reinforce the idea that I'm a sinner. And I'm not in the position that God wants me to be yet. Isn't that right? Why? Why is that? Because how do I know that? Why do I? So, because they keep doing it. Because the priest is active every day. And every time I see the priest, if I'm under the law of Moses, if that's how my perfection comes, because I'm good and I keep all the commandments, then as long as I see the priest doing his stuff, I realize I must not be okay. Because the priest is still doing his stuff. And animals are still dying. So under the law and the sacrifices, literally, there is a reinforcement of a consciousness in my mind that I'm not okay. When I see the priest, in one way I'm glad he's doing it because my sin needs to be covered. But another part of me thinks, well, I'm still a sinner. Because I know tomorrow we're going to get up, we're going to go through this again. And I know next year we're going through this again. But thank God we didn't stop with the law of Moses, man. But you know what? Here's why I'm preaching this chapter. This is what I've been trying to get to here. But that's how people live, even that are under the New Testament, under the blood of Jesus. We still live like our sin is not taken care of. Because we have a consciousness of sin still with us. I'm going to tell you, this is why I love the book of Hebrews, man. I love the Jesus book, the whole thing, man. But I get freaked out about the book of Hebrews because of this right here. Because the book of Hebrews teaches me that I am in my condition. I am in the state that Jesus was trying to get me to in the first place, which is perfect in the eyes of God. And that I'm in that state now. How do you know that now? Because the priest is not doing his duty anymore. We'll get there. That's what I'm trying to get to. Huh? If a priest is still busy and active and killing animals and doing all his stuff, what's that say to me? You're a sinner. Your sin's getting covered today, but you're still a sinner. You're still not okay. And that's a big deal. And what I want to challenge you is where we're going is, I'm going to show you from the Bible, from the Jesus book, I want to show you that you are, if we get this right and we understand this according to the scripture and we put our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are already perfect. First of all, it'll make you stop striving to please God. It'll make you understand that Jesus already pleased God. And it'll make you understand that all the work's already done, and it'll get rid of a consciousness that I'm a sinner and I'm not good enough. Can I hear amen? Okay. Verse 3. But in those sacrifices that are under the law, okay, you, when I say that, you understand that all those animals that die, there is a remembrance again made for sin every year. Key word, remembrance. That's what people do. They keep remembering what they did. What makes me keep remembering? The priest doing killing the animals and the animals having to die. That makes me remember I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Right? So under the law, it reinforced my idea that I'm not okay. Yeah? All right? Verse 4. For it is not possible. Remember, verse 1 said, the law can never. Verse 4 here says, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It's not possible. The blood of an animal that's what the Old Testament law was the moral law that showed you you're a sinner, and then the way to try to remedy that, in the Old Testament animals and their sacrifice and their blood was the best that they had at that point, that God had, that he'd shown us up to that point. But God knew this, it's not possible. He's talking to the Hebrew church, these Hebrew Christians that had come out of Judaism and come out from seeing the priests, and that's all they trusted in, and saw those priests do all the work every year. He's talking to that church. You know what he says? I want you to know this. It's not even possible. I don't care if you killed every animal on this planet in the tabernacle of Moses. It is not possible that their blood could ever take away your sin. It's not possible. Ever. It's not going to happen. Every animal that's ever lived, if we sacrificed it before God to take away our sin, it's not possible. And when we read the book of Hebrews, you know, this really was meaningful to, this is more meaningful to a Hebrew than it is to us. Because most of us haven't, well, in our own way we have, lived under our own, our own kind of system of law. But they really lived under the law of Moses. So these people were being tempted to go back to Judaism compared to being a Christian. And so the Lord said, that's what the word says here. But before you go back, because you're persecuted, understand this. It's not possible that if you go back under Judaism, it's not possible that the blood of any animal, and no matter how many animals die, it's not possible for them to take away your sin. Okay? Wherefore, verse 5. Wherefore, when he, Jesus, came into the world, he announced, sacrifice and offering, you would not, or that's not what you want. But I'll tell you what you did do. This is Jesus announcing this. But a body you have prepared me. In other words, the sacrifice of all those animals, the bodies of those animals, is not what you wanted. Because if it was what you wanted, eventually it would take away our sin. But because it's not possible that the offering of the bodies of all those animals, it's not possible that it could take away sin. But Jesus then announces this. The Jesus book says this to you. Okay, the bodies of all those animals couldn't help you. Didn't help you, didn't do, all it did was make me more understand I'm a sinner. You know, and I'm going to tell you right now, that's one of the purposes of the law. That's what Galatians 3 said. The law was a schoolmaster. The law was a teacher. And the law, even though the law and all the sacrifices, the law said, be perfect. Don't do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. But if you don't, these animals will try to cover that up, but they can't take it away. Okay? Jesus said, So Lord, you've prepared me a body. Okay? You've prepared me a body. In burnt offerings, verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have had no pleasure. Now that's a big statement to a Jew. You mean God's not taken any pleasure in all these animals that have died? That's exactly what I'm saying. That's what Jesus said. God never took any pleasure in all those animals dying and shedding their blood to cover your sin. Why? Because it couldn't take away your sin. And it couldn't get you to the place of spiritual perfection that you needed to be in. So the bodies of all those animals couldn't do it. Jesus said, you've had no pleasure in them. Verse 7. But then Jesus said, then said I, that's Jesus. He said, I come. In fact, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I've come to do thy will, O God. In other words, I've come to do something about this problem. Watch it. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and an offering for sin is not what you wanted. Neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. That's the second time he just said that in three verses. He takes away the first. Okay? So that first system of the law telling you and teaching you, you're not okay. That's what the law told me. I'm not okay. Thou shalt. There's 600 and some commandments in the law. Okay, we talk about the Big Ten. I don't mean the football Big Ten, the other Big Ten. The Big Ten. Tell me some Big Ten of the Big Ten. Thou shalt not steal. Huh? Thou shalt not have any gods before me. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't worship graven images. Honor your father and your mother. Huh? Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. There's the Big Ten. Listen, and 10 out of 10. Out of the 10, even if the 10 were all the 10 we've got, most of us, we got an issue. We already are in trouble here. Much less in the 600 and some laws that demand me to keep them. And if I fail at one of them, I failed at all of them. So what the law tells me and reinforces in me is I'm not okay. That's what bothers me in the church, man. People live like they're under guilt and shame. And we live now, we think now under the New Testament, we act like we're still not okay, that God's mad at us about something. But I want to tell you tonight, man, God is not mad at you if you're a born-again Christian. God's not mad at you anyway, man. But he has provided something through Jesus. He said, Lord, verse 9, I came to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first. In other words, that first system, the law telling you to be perfect and the animal's blood trying to cover it. He took away the first so that he can establish the second. Hallelujah. By which will we are set apart or sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Watch this now. Once and for all. Now here's where this thing gets, this just gets unimaginable to the human mind. Remember, under the Old Testament and the law and the sacrifices, there was a remembrance made every day and every year that I'm a sinner. Why did that remind you of that? Well, because the priest and the sacrifices have to do the work. The reason they're doing that is because I'm a sinner. If they keep doing that, it reinforces, I'm a sinner. Every day, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. That's how we used to think. I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. I'm not good. I'm bad. God's mad. I want to please God. So I'll do, you know, I'll try to keep more of the laws. I'll do better keeping the law. I promise I'll do this and I'll do that. I won't do this and that anymore. You know how many promises I failed at before I became a Christian, man? I was telling God, I'm going to do better at this. I won't do that anymore. All that time, man, you're trying to religiously come to this place where we appease God. But what he's saying is, you can't do that. So the body of the animals couldn't take away my sin, but the body of Jesus was given once for all. Here's the coolest part about Jesus, man. When Jesus died as he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. I want to do thy will. So Lord, thy will is for me. I got to get a body so I can die. And so, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So I need a body so I can get in a body that's got blood. And so, give it, Lord, I come to do thy will. I'm going to, Lord, all those sacrifices aren't adequate, but I want to take care of Jim. I want to take care of Joyce. I want to take care of Ken. I want to take care of Jerry. I want them to be perfect. So, Lord, give me a body. Those animals had a body, and we killed their body. The priest killed their body, but it wasn't good enough. And that kept telling Jim, it's not good enough. You're 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 not good enough. That's how, see, that's why if you get the wrong, you get under the wrong word, man. I want to tell you right now, that's like a message that you can get the wrong thing playing in your brain. And I'll tell you, for my part, even in Holy Ghost word churches, man, people got to get a new thing going in their mind and an understanding of why we can think like this. He said, the body of Jesus was given once and for all. Well, if you only had to give it once and for all, why would that be? You see, when you think this through logically, it's because, you know why? Because the body of the animals wasn't, and their blood wasn't good enough. But if he only did it once, and God was satisfied, what does that say? The law and the everyday sacrifices reinforced my failure and my sinfulness. But if Jesus came and died for me, and he only did it one time. Right? What does that say to me? Every time I read the Jesus book, and I see, I mean, Jesus died for me. That's good. You should know that Jesus died for you. But you should remember how many times Jesus did die for you. How many times did Jesus do that? Jesus died one time. And God said to he said to him, while he had the body, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And what he was saying was, I'm going to be pleased with what this body does right here. I'm not pleased with the body of the animals, but I'm going to be pleased with what he does with his. And Jesus, like the animals, was offered and sacrificed only one time. Here's this. And so, what does that do to me? It reinforces something to me. What's it reinforce to me? If Jesus only did it once, and he sat down, he went to the right hand of God tonight. Somebody said to me the other day, they said, what's Jesus doing now? I said, nothing. I mean it, man. Nothing. What do you mean? I mean, that's what I'm saying. He's finished. Because when he died for my sin, his sacrifice for all of my sin, as filthy as it was, and all the laws I broke, and all the commandments that I failed at, and the self-will and the selfishness of my life, I want you to know tonight that Jesus died one time. Every time I sin and I ask forgiveness, he doesn't have to go back on the cross and die again. Because his work was so satisfactory, was so powerful. His work is better than the work of the old covenant. And if the law reinforces to me with all of its sacrifices and its priests, if the law reinforces to me I'm a sinner, when I see Jesus and I see Jesus was my high priest, okay, what's my high priest doing? Nothing. What did... So Jesus was the high priest and the sacrifice. There's a whole nother story here. In the old covenant, there had to be a priest and then a sacrifice. Jesus didn't like either of those options and said, I'll become both of them. I'll be the priest that offers the sacrifice. What is the sacrifice? My body, myself. And when the priest, Jesus, offered himself as a sacrifice, and the blood of Jesus was shed, he went and he sat down, and he sat down finished. So now when I look in the New Testament and I understand the work of Jesus, you know what I understand? The old law reinforced I'm a sinner because there's a priest and sacrifices every day. The new covenant is that I'm not a sinner. The new covenant reinforces something to me. I'm all right. I'm all right. How do you know you're all right? Do you know you're all right because you do everything just perfectly right, Pastor? No. It's not dependent on me anyway. I know I'm all right because I look at my high priest. If my priest is inactive, if my priest is seated at the right hand of God, and I see that that priest is not making sacrifices all the time, then that reinforces to me that if I believe on him, that I am not a sinner any longer. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. I am a saint. That's why Paul could write all those churches and say, to the saints at Ephesus. You think all those people at Ephesus lived this perfect life? You kidding me? They just had a perfect priest. They had a perfect sacrifice. And they got it inside their mind. And the Apostle Paul would write them and say, to the church at Ephesus, the saints that are called to God. And I want to challenge us tonight. Jesus died for you, but he didn't die over and over and over and over again. He died one time. And I think if there's a failure in the church, it's a failure to comprehend the immensity and the depth of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Which means it was so good, He didn't ever have to do it again. And he went and sat down. So that when I believed on him, he said, now you are where I intended you to be. I have perfected your heart. Here's the trouble. He has perfected our heart. But we've got an unregenerate, we got a mind that needs to be renewed to this fact right here. You know, the Bible says the strength of sin is the law. The more you think you're an unworthy, ugly, mean, bad, old, you know what all you did, sinner. The more you think about the law, man, and you think about the perfection that it requires and it depends on you. See, my perfection, that's what's cool. Our perfection doesn't depend anything on me. It depends on the high priest and the sacrifice. And if I get this right, according to the word, what we read there in Hebrews 10, this worshiper, I should have, when I get to the right place, I would have no more consciousness of sin in my life. I'm no more consciousness that I'm not good. See, I gotta, you know, unless I think about the word, that's where my head goes. Doesn't yours? That's where we go. You know all you did. Don't make me bring it up. You know. Look at your neighbor and say, you know. You know all you've done. Huh? But it's not dependent on me. I'm not looking at me. I'm looking at my high priest. And he sat down at the right hand of God. There hadn't been a sacrifice made that was meaningful since Jesus died on the cross. Which, when I stare at that, it gets into my consciousness. I'm all right. I'm good. I've already made it, man. I'm in this perfect place of peace with God. My priest is not doing anything. There's no sacrifices being made. And my mind is renewed to that fact. See, I really do believe. We sing there's power in the blood, but you know most believers don't believe that. In my mind. I don't believe most Christians really think that. I'm talking about enough power to get it out of your mind once and for all. That I got to be better. I got to do good. I got to do, you know. Just get off that rat race thing, man. We're good because Jesus makes us good. And I believe that's why the new covenant is so much better than the old covenant. Because the old covenant was dependent on what I did. The new covenant is dependent on what he did. And so what I challenge you is, that's why we need to know the Jesus book. That's why we need to read the book of Hebrews over and over and over until we get that fact in our mind that Christ has settled the issue for the glory of God. Yeah. Shout out loud, it's all finished. It's the finished work. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. No sacrifices are being made. And I give God thanks for that. Amen. Aren't you glad? You mean? And if you, the more you stare at that, the more that gets into your consciousness. Then I'm okay. I'm okay. I must be okay. Right? I've been trying to tell you I'm okay, man. Right? And I'm okay not based on me, but based on what he did. I'm glad. I'm glad Jesus is not doing anything tonight. Because all the work is fit. Is that all? Isn't that a liberating thing, man? And we got to get that, not just in here. We got to get it right there where it's in your mind, where you don't walk around condemned all the time. Amen and amen. Let's put our hands toward heaven. Let's give God some thanks tonight. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your grace tonight. We thank you for the Spirit of God that's in us and on us. And we ask you to help us tonight, Lord, by your grace and glory. I thank you tonight, God, I am not a sinner. But I thank you that I've been made a saint by the power of the cross and by the power of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I give God thanks in Jesus' name.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com